Good morning, RBC, and Merry Christmas. What a great service so far, huh? Great music, great singing. Thank you so much, choir and orchestra, for all the hard work. Yeah, give them a round of applause. We're thankful. That's great. Well, it's been an extra special Christmas for us in our home. We're not only celebrating the birth of Jesus, but also the birth of our first child. Our son Calvin was born 3 weeks ago today. Yeah, there he is. You can applaud for that. That's exciting. Isn't he the cutest, handsomest, best-looking, greatest? You can say amen if you want. I think he is. Man, we are just so thrilled by this gift from God. And I want to say thank you to so many of you. We have been just blown away by the gifts and the meals and the visits and the cards and the texts that have been pouring in. We just feel so loved and so cared for at this church. And it just means so much to us that you celebrate with us and rejoice with us with Calvin being born. So he's going to try to sleep through this message over here, and I'm excited to see him. All right. Well, anyway, we're here to celebrate Jesus, right? Not hear about my kids. So let's do that. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 1. That's where we're going to be. If you don't have a Bible with you, that is okay. Just reach under the chair in front of you. There should be a Bible under there. Just pull that out. We are going to be on page 856 in those chair Bibles. While you're turning there, let me say this, that we study the Bible because the Bible is God's Word. We're not a church where the pastor gets up and gives some political speech or some kind of personal opinions on ethical or social issues. No, here we open up the Bible and we study what God has said, and we believe and we teach what he has given us. And so this December, we're in the Gospel of Luke. You can see it on the screens up here, where our theme is the songs of joy. In the Gospel of Luke, there are four songs centered around the coming birth of Jesus. And so we're going to study song number 2 today in Luke 1. It's called the Song of Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest and also the father of John the Baptist, who grew up to become a prophet in the New Testament. And Zechariah wrote this song when his son John was born in anticipation of the coming birth of Jesus. So if you would, please stand and I'll read this text for us. Luke chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 67, little number 67 there. You can follow along with me. Luke 1, 67, again, page 856 in the chair Bible. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for this time of the year that we can celebrate the incredible miracle of you, God, becoming man. Father, help us now in this time to understand your word. God, we confess we think so highly of ourselves and our ideas and so little of you and of your ways. Make your word great in our eyes today. Show us afresh our need of the Savior Jesus. And Father, help me to speak. May my sin not hinder your glory from being on display. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, one of the best parts, I think, of Christmas is the anticipation of Christmas and all that comes with it. Looking forward to what the Christmas season will bring. When you're a student, right, you're looking forward to, right, no school and maybe finals being done. Maybe some of you are looking forward to traveling or getting to see friends or relatives you normally don't get to see regularly. Maybe you look forward to the tree, the lights, the decorations, or the music and the movies with Christmas. One of the things I look forward to the most is the Christmas food. Captain Crunch, Christmas Crunch, only available at this time of the year. Little Debbie Christmas trees, peppermint mochas. One of the things we all look forward to, right, is the presents, right, the gifts that we give and that we receive as well. And this really kind of from Thanksgiving or maybe even before on, there's this anticipation, there's this looking forward to Christmas and what comes with it. And anticipation is really the theme of this song that we just read that Zechariah records for us. In this song, Zechariah is anticipating and looking forward to what we celebrate at Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Now, we don't have time to study the whole thing, so for the next 10 minutes, let's zoom in on the last three verses of the song and see exactly what Zechariah was anticipating with the birth of Jesus. Let's actually back it up to verse 76 so we get the whole sentence. It says, "And you, child," that's his son John, "will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord," that's Jesus, "to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins." Zechariah tells us that his son John will bring the message of salvation. He will tell people how they can be saved, how they can be right with God. And in verse 77, Zechariah anticipates how this good news, how this gospel, how this message of salvation will be possible. Salvation will come through the birth of Jesus. How? What does it say in the verse? As he brings with him the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was to save his people from their sins. You say, well, what is this forgiveness of sins all about? What does that mean? Well, the Bible makes it clear that every person has broken God's law. That means that we are sinners. And the punishment for our sin, because everybody has broken his law, is eternal death, meaning every person is due to receive God's wrath for eternity. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh. Is there any way that we can get out of this punishment? Any way we can avoid this? And the answer is no. Now, there's no way we can kind of talk our way out of it. No way we can manipulate around it. You say, well, maybe can God minimize it, our sin and what we deserve? Well, no, he's too holy for that. Well, maybe God can ignore it. No, he's too just and he's too righteous to do that. So maybe you say, well, is there anything that we can do, any way that any kind of something that we can do to avoid this punishment? And the answer is no. There's no amount of religious acts, no good works that we can perform to be good enough. And since our punishment was so certain and so sure, God could have, he could have, right, just sort of left us on our own and let every person live a life of sin and then take the consequence of our sin in hell. But God didn't do that because he loves us so much, even though it cost him dearly. Right, because the only way for us to not receive the punishment we deserve is if God himself took the punishment for us. You say, well, how does that work? Well, only God is perfect enough. Only God is holy enough. Only God is righteous enough to take our penalty on our behalf. And so that's exactly what God did. God the Father sent God the Son at Christmas to be born as a baby in a manger, to grow up and live a perfect life, which is what Jesus did, never once breaking any of God's laws. And in that way, he was the perfect and only substitute for our sin and for our penalty. And that's what happened on the cross. You know this story where Jesus died on the cross. There was a great exchange that happened. Jesus took our sin, our shame, our guilt, our punishment went to Jesus. And in the exchange, what did we get? We got Jesus' perfectness, his innocence. His perfect record is ours, so that when we believe in him, when we receive him, we now receive the forgiveness of sins. And this is what Zechariah is anticipating. This is what he is looking forward to in this song, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins is only possible, how? Look at verse 78. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, This good news, this forgiveness of sins, this gospel message is only because of the mercy of God. Right at Christmas, we don't celebrate our own good works, right? We don't pull out our spiritual resumes and say, look at how good we are. Look at how much church I've done. Look at how much I've given to charity. Look at how nice I am to people who are mean to me. We don't do that. No, we celebrate the mercy of God, that God did what we could not. We celebrate the mercy of God in sending his son. We celebrate the mercy of God in making it possible for us to have our sins forgiven. And when our sins are forgiven, when your sins are forgiven, there's some other things that are included with forgiveness. Did you know that? Take a look at 79, see if you can see them. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. He says here that when your sins are forgiven, three other things come along with it. First thing is what? Light to those who sit in darkness. So what does that mean? Well, there are so many of us who sit in and are stuck in the clutches of sin, right? We're bound up and burdened with all kinds of worries and anxieties. We have a thought life that runs wild and unchecked. We have impatience that leads us to lose our temper and wrecks our relationships. We have desires we can't corral, we can't control. We want to change, but we can't. But with the forgiveness of sins comes light. Not only are your sins forgiven, but also you no longer remain in sin. You are free from the slavery of sin that once ruled your life, and now you can walk in newness of life, in obedience to God, in complete freedom. That's the first thing. Look at the second thing. Light to those who sit in the shadow of death. Well, what does that mean? Well, death is the elephant in the room, described here as a shadow that hangs over life. And we try to push the subject of death out of our minds to the margins of life, but the reality that we will die looms over us, and no amount of money, no medicine, no cryonics can change that fact until Jesus. And if Jesus has forgiven your sins, then you will, like him, rise from the dead. When your sins are forgiven, you receive eternal life, so that when you die on earth, you wake up in his presence in eternity. Now, death is so painful because of its cold permanence. But with the forgiveness of sins comes life, comes eternal life, life such that death, even death, loses its sting. Third thing. You see it in there, the last phrase, guidance in the way of peace. Do you want peace? Do you want peace in your life? Do you have peace in your life? With the forgiveness of sins comes peace, but without the forgiveness of sins, there can be no peace. You say, how come? Well, think about it. How can you have peace with the guilt of your sin against God weighing on your soul unforgiven? How can you have peace when you are stuck in the clutches of darkness and sin? How can you have peace with death looming over your life like a shadow and you don't have any hope? But when your sins are forgiven, when you believe in Jesus, when you receive him, when you have been redeemed by him, you can have that peace. Peace that comes from a right relationship with God and that then flows into every relationship, every circumstance, every decision, every area of life flows peace. You say, well, that sounds really nice and all, but if Jesus really came to forgive sin, those three things you talked about, well, how come there's still darkness in the world? How come there's still so much sin and evil and wickedness? And how come the shadow of death is still here? How come people still die? How come there isn't peace on earth? Didn't you hear about Paris, about San Bernardino, about cancer, about war? What about all that? And I'm so glad you asked, because that's exactly at the heart of Christmas. It's not just about that Christ has come, born of a virgin, born in a manger. Not just that Jesus came and lived a perfect life. Not just that he died for our sins. Not just that he rose again to conquer death. But at the heart of Christmas is anticipation. Anticipation of Jesus' coming and of Jesus coming again. You see, Jesus came to earth the first time at Christmas and was seen by shepherds and angels, but Jesus is coming to earth again. And when Jesus comes to earth again, he's not going to come as a baby to bring the forgiveness of sins. No, he's going to come as a conquering king to bring an end to all sin. When Jesus comes again, he's not going to come to defeat darkness. He's going to come and bring an end to darkness. He's not going to come to die for sin. He's going to come and bring an end to death itself. When Jesus comes again, he's not going to come to bring peace in part, but he is going to bring worldwide peace forever and ever and ever and ever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. If you have your Bible, look back at Luke 1:68. The first line of this song is what? God is to be praised because he has visited and redeemed his people. And Jesus will come again to visit his people. And not just for a visit, he will dwell with us forever. Listen to what it says later in the Bible about when Jesus comes again. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And you say, well, that sounds really nice, but I need a sign to believe all this. What kind of sign can God give me so that I can know that this is true? And the sign is this: Christmas. Jesus born as a baby. God leaving the perfections and glories of heaven to come to earth, to suffer, to die, and to rise again. And so the real question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe that in Christ and only in Christ is the forgiveness of sins? And have your sins been forgiven? Are your sins forgiven? Has he visited and redeemed you? Take a look at your life. Do you walk in newness of life? Do you have hope in death? Do you walk in the way of peace? Listen, if Jesus' birth and the forgiveness of sins is as true as Santa, well then, what I've said doesn't really mean a whole lot. In fact, I've kind of just wasted your time. But if it is true, then it is the most important message in the universe, and you cannot ignore it. You cannot shrug it off to the side. I would urge you, believe in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins so that you can be saved. Don't cross your fingers on this. Don't hope that just kind of dabbling in some religion is enough. Be sure today that your sins have been forgiven. And then set your mind, set your hope, set your heart on the coming of Jesus. Yes, as a baby in the manger, but also as the coming King and Lord, and live in anticipation of that day. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay a debt we could never pay, to give us a forgiveness that we could never earn, so that we could have an eternal life that we do not deserve. I pray for those here who have not had their sins forgiven. Father, open their eyes. Show them their need of the Savior Jesus. And God, we rejoice with those who have had their sins forgiven. Help us to live in anticipation of Jesus' coming. And in his name we pray, amen.